नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाये मुदीरये। नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भक्ति अनैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। सो टुडेज वर्सेस फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 87 वर्स 30। अपरिमिता ध्रुवास्तु न भृतो यदि सर्वगतास् तर्हि न शाश्वतेति नियमो ध्रुव नेत्रलथा। अजनी च यन्मयम् तद्विमुच्यत निवृत्त्य भवेत्। समन्नुजाताम् यद्मतम् मत दुष्टता अपरिमिता ध्रुवास्तनुभ्रतो यदि सर्वगतास् तर्हि न शाश्वतेति नियमो ध्रुव नेत्रलथा। अजने यम मयम तद विमुच्य नियंत्र भवेत्। समम नु जानताम यद मतम मत दुष्टता अपरिमिता ध्रुवास्तनु भ्रतो यदि सर्वगतास् तर्हि न शाश्वतेति नियमो ध्रुव नेत्रलथा। अजनी यन्मयम् तद् विमुच्य नियवृत्त भवेत्। समम् नुजानताम् यद् मतम् मत दुष्टतया शाश्वतेति अनेन चयनं नित्यविचच्य नियतत्व स भवेत्। जानताम यद् मतं मत दुष्टतया शाश्वते तेति नमो ध्रुवते त्रथा।
अपरिमिता శాశ్వతేతి నిముద్ర నిపుత అలీనచే నిరత భవేత్. సమం జాతానాం యద్మతం మస్త దుష్టతః.
వర్డ్ బై వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ అపరిమితః కౌంట్లెస్ ధ్రువ పర్మనెంట్ తను భృత ద ఎంబాడీడ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ యది ఇఫ్ సర్వగత ఓమ్నీ ప్రెజెంట్ తర్హి దెన్ నా నాట్ సస్యాత్ సావరంటీ ఇతి సచ్ నియమ రూల్ ధ్రువ ఓ అన్చేంజింగ్ వన్ నా నాట్ అతారహాత అదర్వైజ్ అజాని వాస్ జనరేటెడ్ చే అండ్ యత్ మాయం ఫ్రమ్ హూజ్ సబ్స్టెన్స్ తత్ ఫ్రమ్ దాట్ అభిముచ్యే నాట్ సెపరేటింగ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ నియంత్రత్ రెగ్యులేటర్ భావేత్ మస్ట్ బి సమన్ ఈక్వలీ ప్రెజెంట్ అనుజానాతం ఆఫ్ దోజ్ హూ సపోజిటెడ్లీ నో యత్ విచ్ అమలం అమ్తం మిస్అండర్స్టూడ్ మత్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ ఈజ్ నోన్ దుష్యత బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ఇంపర్ఫెక్షన్. బిగ్ శ్లోక ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ బై ద ఫాలోవర్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్. లకీలీ ద ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఈజ్ వెరీ షార్ట్ కంపేర్డ్ టు అదర్ వర్సెస్. ఇఫ్ ద కౌంట్లెస్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ వర్ ఆల్ పర్వేడింగ్ అండ్ పొజెస్డ్ ఫార్మ్ దట్ నెవర్ చేంజ్డ్ యూ కుడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ పాసిబిలి దేర్ అబ్సల్యూట్ రూలర్ ఓ మ్యూమిటేబుల్ వన్. హియర్ దే ఆర్ సెయింగ్ ఇన్ ఎ నెగేటివ్ వే. ఇఫ్ దిస్ హెస్ బీన్ సో దెన్ ఇట్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి సో. ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ కంట్రోలర్ దెన్ దే షుడ్ నాట్ బి ఆల్ పర్వేడింగ్ ఆల్ పొజెస్డ్ ఫార్మ్స్. ద నెగేటివ్ వే ఈస్ ట్రాయింగ్ టు సే దట్ కృష్ణ యు ఆర్ ద కంట్రోలర్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ actually all pervading and all possessed form. Matlab their forms are changing. But since they are your localized expansion and their forms are subject to change, they are clarifying now, you can control them. Indeed, that which supplies the ingredients for the generation of the something is necessary its controller, because a product never exists apart from its ingredient cause. If simply illusion for someone to think that he knows the Supreme Lord, who is equally present in each of his expansions. This is very important. Since whatever knowledge one gains by material means must be imperfect. So those who say that we know Krishna, they are in illusion, because the material, the knowledge they gain from material means is imperfect. So they cannot know Krishna. Purport. Because the conditioned souls cannot directly understand the Supreme, the Vedas commonly refer to that Supreme Truth in such impersonal terms as Brahman or Om Tatsat. If an ordinary scholar presumes to know the confidential meaning of these symbolic references, he should be rejected as an impostor. In the verse of Kena Upanishad 2.1, Yadi manasye su vedeti dabhram evapi nunam tvam veta brahmano rupam yad yatsya tvam yad asya deveshu. If you think you know Brahman well, then your knowledge is very meager. If you think you can identify Brahman's form from among the demigods, indeed you know little, know but little. Again, yasya matam tasya matam, matam yasya na vedesa, avijanantam, avijanantam. Whoever denies having any opinion of his own about the supreme truth is correct in his opinion. Whereas one who know, who has his own opinion about Supreme Lord does not know him. Again, same thing is repeated. Because the Lord is adhoksha. He cannot be perceived in our material senses. So those who claim to know him are actually impostors. They do not know him. He is known to those who claim to know him. He is unknown to those who claim to know him, but can only be known by those who do not claim to know him. So we will try to explain this. Acharya Sridhar Swami gives the following explanation of this verse. Many philosophers have studied the mysteries of life from various perspectives and have formed widely different theories. The Advaita Mayavadi, for example, proposed that there is only one living being and one power of illusion, avidya, that covers him, producing the appearance of plurality. But this hypothesis leads to an absurd conclusion that when any one living entity becomes illusioned, everyone obtains liberation. When one living being becomes liberated, everyone obtains liberation. If, on the other hand, there are many advaityas, avidyas, to cover the one living being, then each avidya will cover only a small part of it. And we would have to talk about his becoming partly liberated at particular time while his other part remains in bondage. This is obviously absurd. Thus, the plurality of living being is an unavoidable conclusion. Here he wants to say that Krishna is one and there are innumerable living entities which are plural. So singular and plural, they want to differentiate that Krishna is singular and innumerable living entities are plural. So they cannot be same. They cannot be on the same platform. Furthermore, there are other theoreticians, namely the proponents of Nyaya and Vaisheshika, who claim that Jiva soul is infinite in size. As we know, Jiva is 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair. But they say that Jiva soul is infinite in size. If souls were infinitesimal, these scholars argue they would not pervade their own bodies. Whereas if they were of medium size, they would be divisible into parts and thus could not be eternal. And at least according to souls, according to the axiom or Nyaya Vishesha metaphysics. But if the numerous souls, eternal jivas, souls are each infinitely large, how can they be covered by any power of bondage, whether belonging to avidya or the Supreme Lord himself? According to this theory, there can be no illusion for the soul, no limitations from which to be liberated. This theory, they say that soul is so big that it not can be covered by avidya. So there is no question of the liberation. So they are telling that these theories are all absurd. The infinite souls must be eternally remain as they are without change. This would mean that the souls would be equal to God, since he would have no scope for controlling these all-pervading, unchanging rivals. So these are absurd conclusions. So they are trying to... Then, for final wording, the Vedic Shruti mantras, which affirms unequivocally the mastery of the Lord over the individual souls, cannot be validly contradicted. But this is the right conclusion. A true philosopher must accept the statement of the Shruti as reliable authority on all matters by their touch. Certainly, in numerous places, the Vedic literatures contrast the Supreme Lord's perpetual, unchanging oneness with the ever-changing embodiment of the living and being caught up in the cycle of birth and death. So there is always a difference between the two. Then in the end, Sridhar Swami prays, Antaryanta sarva lokesya gitaha shutya yuktya chevyam eva sheshya yas sarva janaha sarva shaktir narsimaha shrimantam tam cheta chevya valanime. in my heart I take shelter of Him who is glorified as the inner controller of all the worlds, and whom the Vedas ascertain in truth through logical reasoning. He is Narasimha, the omniscient and omnipotent Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. Om Ajnanti Mulandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Sakshur Militen Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Name Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swaya Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapad Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vidam Tam Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakavitam Se He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapt Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavcha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktvinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, very complicated. So I need a lot of blessings from all of you to present this topic in a simpler way for our understanding. So, this verse briefly speaks about, broadly speaks about the principles and philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. The position of Sri Krishna as the absolute truth, one without a second, no one is equal to Him and no one is greater to Him. And the nature of the Jivatma, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is subordinate and controlled by Him and always meant to serve Him. So we briefly try to expand these two topics, and Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that aham sarvasya prabhu matta sarvam pravartate, that all the spiritual and material world are coming from me. I am the source of that. And everything emanates from me. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, first verse, first line, janmadi asyato, it says that the absolute truth is the primal cause of all causes of creation, maintenance, destruction of this cosmic manifestation. So this is Krishna. So, and Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, has many parts and parcels. So we describe, there are some parcels who are called Swansha, Krishna's personal expansion, like his avatars, Purush Tattva. And all these expansions have the same potency as Krishna himself and is present in all the avatars, in all these personal expansions. This is one part of his expansion, Swansha. And the other part is the Vibhinansha, which are innumerable jivatma, living entities. And they are called, as here said, they are localized expansions of and are subject to change, as described in the shloka. So, in short, we can say that ekla ikvar Krishna or sab bhartiya, ki only Krishna is the Supreme Lord and all other living entities are His servants. Bhartiya means servants. So, within Ansha, the separated parts and parcels of the Lord, living entities, possesses minute quantity of Krishna's potency. And therefore, in Narad Pachiratna, it is said that they are called Tathast Shakti of the Lord. because undoubtedly they have the same quality of the Lord in spiritual existence as the Lord, but they are prone to be tinged by material contamination because they are tiny part of the Lord, having the same spiritual potency of the Lord, but they are prone to be tinged by the material contamination. So, two classes of jiva-atma has been described. One is nitya-siddha. And Nectar of Devotion gives the definition of nitya-siddha. Who have achieved eternal blissful life on the level of Sri Krishna and who are able to attract Krishna by the transcendental loving service without any forgetfulness. This is the quality that they don't forget their relationship with Krishna. They are called nitya-siddha. And by their loving devotional service, they attract Krishna and they come on the practically same platform as Krishna. But nitya-baddha, eternally conditioned souls, forgetfulness of their relationship with Krishna. Although they are all from the spiritual world originally, but we cannot trace the history. At what time, at certain point of time, when they become conditioned? This is very difficult to trace. When that contamination came into their mind. So due to what is the contamination, why they have to come into the material? Because due to their desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, they are sent in this material world, which the Lord has created for them, so that they can enjoy separate from Krishna. But when they come into this material world, because they want to imitate Krishna, the Lord, by lording it over the nature, enjoying it, they become contaminated and covered by the material energy, consisting of three modes of material nature. Satagun, Tamagun, Rajogun and Tam. So this is, all these ingredients are supplied by the Lord Himself. They are covered by the body. Just like here it is said, those ingredients are also supplied by the Lord because material energy is Krishna's energy. Maya dhakshin prakriti suyate se characharam. So this material energy is working my adhyakshta. So what are the material ingredients supplied? Bhumi anilo apavayu man buddhi kham che. Ahankar iti manne bin prakriti ashuddha. So they supply what? Gross body and subtle body. Gross body made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether, and subtle body made up of mind, intelligence and false ego. So all these ingredients are supplied. So the living entity gets a body which is, has a gross body and a subtle body. And all these elements are supplied, ingredients supplied by the Lord through His material energy, three modes of material nature. So, by coming in this material world, this is what is amazing, that although coming into this material world, he suffers immensely, but still he thinks himself is the master of all what he lords, he sees, oversees, and considers himself to be happy. This is amazing. Although suffering, he thinks himself he is happy and he is still the master of everything, what is happening. So, therefore, when Mahavishnu wanted to create this material world, cosmic manifestation, before that, when he breathed, Vedas manifested. And what was the purpose of the Vedas? They reveal that the purpose of creation and the goal of life. The purpose of Veda is to show what is the purpose of creation and the goal of life. These two things are mainly covered by Vedas. The purpose of creation is to understand that this material world is full of suffering and distress. Dukhale ashashratam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. There is no happiness. It is all dukhale. Full of misery and distress. Why? Because there is janmirtu jaravadi dukdosa darshana. Because they are entangled in the cycle of birth and death. And also suffering threefold miseries of the material nature. Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik, Adhyatmik. So with seven types of miseries, he is suffering. But he thinks that he is happy and can lord over it. And therefore the purpose of life is to know who I am and why I am suffering. The person who becomes a little sane, they will know. They will ask this question, who I am and why I am suffering. So these are two things that gives the purpose of creation and why the goal of life. So therefore in Vedanta Sutra, first sutra is Athato Brahma Jigyasa. What is the nature of the absolute truth? And the second sutra describes he is the source of everything. And the sages at Nimittasharyam asked Sudh Goswami one very pertinent question. He asked him to summarize the essence of all the revealed scriptures and present in such a way, in a simple way, that the most essential part of the essence of all Vedas, of all the Vedic scriptures, for the humanity to follow it, to come out of the cycle of birth and death. And in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, sixth shloka, he says, Sevam punso param dharmo yator bhakti yatoshje ehtu kye prityata yayatma suprasiddhiti. That the supreme occupation of all living entities is to render loving devotional service to Adhokshja, Sri Krishna, who is not perceived by the senses. And the nature of that devotional service, it should be apritihata ehetuki, unmotivated and interrupted. Only then the soul will be peaceful. Otherwise, it will be under anxiety because of suffering, because it is a temporary world. Therefore, always there is a chinta, anxiety of this world. So this is the goal of human life, which has been described. And the total Bhagavatam is an extension, explanation, and expansion of this particular verse, how to actually achieve this goal of life. Total Bhagavatam is meant to achieve this particular goal of life, which has been initiated in the beginning. So we will try to understand the five stages or the five departments in which the living entities pass in this material, in the journey of life of the living entity. The first is called Annamaya Kosh, where living entity is satisfied only by taking food. Sabse pehle pet bharna chahiye, subsistence ke liye. सब ऐसा बोलते हैं कि पापी पेट का सवाल है, पेट के लिए हम सब कुछ कर रहे हैं. The first need is to fill the belly. This is annakosh. And therefore, these are the basic needs, roti, kapla, makan. And therefore, the first concern of the living entities is economic development. Unless they get money, how they can sustain themselves? So annakosh means it is concerned with economic development and it is meant to fill the bellies. And the second is pranakosh, pranamaya kosh, where one actually conscious of being alive. When he is living and he thinking that he should not be troubled by anything. There should not be impediments, there should not be obstructions. He should not be attacked or destroyed. That is the second stage, when he thinks that my belly is full, but I should live. I should not be troubled by anybody, I should not be destroyed, attacked by anybody. So this is, and when everything goes fine, he feels that there is no misery, then he feels happy. The second concern is the defense mechanism of the person. That he has to save his life to be happy. So this is the second stage through which the living entity pass. Then the third is man maya kosh. So when these two stages he pass, then he starts thinking about the purpose of life or about life, or he propounds many theories about the life, mysteries of life on the mental platform. Just like here it is given that how people manipulate the things. Simple things they manipulate in such a way that they are absurd. So when becomes situated on mental platform, he engages in mental speculation to philosophical approach of life. Okay, what is this life? So they on the mental platform only, on the Indian material way. That is mysteries of life from various angles and various propensities. So these three stages are actually primarily in three stages is situated in material consciousness. And this is the nature of the material civilization. Most of the civilization is on these three stages. And because of bodily concept of life, they are in the bodily concept, they are in the three stages of this. Anna maya kosh, pran maya kosh, and man maya kosh. And then fourth and fifth stage come, where the evolution is, next stage is, in the process of philosophical understanding, one reaches to the stage of intellectual platform. Intelligence is over man. Man, buddhi, ahankar. Man, mind is over senses, intelligence over mind. So when he reaches to the intellectual platform instead of mental platform, then he reaches to the understanding that I am not this body, I am a spirit soul. So this is the fourth stage when he comes to this conclusion that I am not this body, I am a spirit soul. And the fifth stage comes, this is called Gyan Maya Kosh. And the fifth stage comes when, by evolution of his spiritual life, he comes to the understanding of the position of Supreme Lord and his position in relation to Krishna, the Supreme Lord. So this is in three stages, Sambandh Gyan, Abhidaya Gyan, and Prayojan Gyan. So first he understands, what is my relationship with Krishna? Krishna is Supreme Lord, I am his part and parcel, and therefore my duty is to serve him. This is Sambandh Gyan. But since I have forgotten that relationship, and I want to establish that relationship again, Abhidaya, he works out the process how to again revive that relationship. That Abhidaya, this is a process where that relationship can be revived. And that process in Kali Yuga is chanting of the holy name, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. This is out of the nine processes, Navda Bhakti, this is the most potent, and Prabhupada says 99% of his spiritual advancements comes from chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And what is the purpose of that? To create relationship? That ultimately to have a loving exchange with Krishna. This is the highest platform. Priyojan. What is the Priyojan? To awaken the dormant love for Krishna in our heart and to have reciprocation with Krishna of that loving exchanges. So this is described in Bhagavad Gita as Brahmabhut Prasannatma Sochitna Kanshati. He is situated on the platform of Atma. So recently, two, three days back, I received a one minute video, and some religious guru was asked a question: what is the need of a guru? Because in fourth and fifth stages we need a guru, otherwise we cannot approach the Lord. We do not know the way how to approach Lord. We do not know who God is and what is the process to please him. It is only the guru, tadvidhi pranipatyan pariprashnam sevya udeshanti tigyanam gyaninastatva. He knows with tattva who is Lord and he shows the way how to approach the Lord, the easy way. So he asked the question, why you need a guru? So he told that just like, because the seeker does not know the process to reach him, does not know the Lord, so he shows him the way how to reach there. Because he has already reached there. He knows the Lord with Tattva, Tattva Darshi. So he gave a very good example, just like GPS today. You know GPS? They are fitted in the taxis and on the mobile. When you want to reach some destination, you put on destination and it already gives the way how to reach that place. It guides how to reach that place. And it is my personal experience that when I was telling once in that there was a shorter route, but he did not take the shorter route. So I asked him, why you are not taking? Because GPS is telling us that it is overcrowded. There is a traffic jam. So they took a longer juice, but an easier juice to, route to reach there. So Guru gives a simpler way to reach the Lord, not the difficult way. So he asked that, what is the relevance of GPS in spiritual life? He says, GPS means Guru Positioning System. So this is a very inspiring video, that GPS, we are all actually going through GPS, Guru Positioning System. So this is the next stage, Bhambuti stage. So the Lord is actually Swarat, fully independent, and Jivatma, being his part and parcel, is given a minute independence to choice, to make a choice at every moment. Moment to moment, there is opportunity for choice. So therefore, I think in the 14th and 15th verses of this chapter, it is given that personified Vedas give clear evidence that Vedic literature is presented and meant for helping the conditioned soul to understand Krishna and their duties towards him and make the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu as their goal. Tad Vishnu Param Padam. So this should be the goal of life. And Vedas direct us who is Supreme Lord and what is our duty towards him. And Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshya Sarveyam Aham E Vedo. I am the compiler of the Veda, I am the lower of the Veda, and of all the Vedas I am to be known. And Sri Prabhupada, in very few words, gives the gist of this. I am quoting, Vedas are a storehouse of knowledge, both material and spiritual, but such knowledge aims at perfection of self-realization. This is the purpose of. In other words, Vedas are guide of civilized man in every respect. Here word is used civilized man. It is not for barbaric people. Only civilized man can understand Vedas. Since human life is an opportunity to get free from all material miseries, it is properly guided by knowledge of Vedas in the matter of material needs and spiritual salvation. It deals with both. Unless belly is filled, nobody is able to do bhakti. So it deals with both material needs and spiritual salvation. So in few words, Prabhupada has condensed the purpose of the Vedas. So living entities is called Tathast Shakti, as we have discussed. Tathast Shakti means there are three potencies of the Lord: spiritual potency, marginal potency, and material potency. Spiritual energy, material energy, and marginal energy. So spiritual energy we know, Krishna's internal energy by which his spiritual world is created. Material energy we know, this material world is manifestation of his material energy. But the Tat Shakti is Jivatma, which are of the same character as Krishna. But tathas means tat, shore. He is sitting on the shore. He has a choice to go on the land and he has a choice to go on the water. When he goes to the land, it is his natural status, natural position. Because by nature we are thalchar, thal pe rehne wale jeev hain. Then we go to land, it is our natural position. So we will be live comfortably and very happily. But if we choose to go to water, that is a natural condition. Just like living in this material world. This is not our actually position to live here. Prabhupada said that this is not a place for gentlemen to live. So that is unnatural condition, and because that unnatural condition, we have to suffer. Because we are not in a natural condition. So, therefore we have a choice either to go to land. Go to land means to be under the Anand Shakti of the Lord, therefore living in our natural condition. To live in harmony with the will of the Lord and according to our constitutional position to, as an eternal servant of the Lord. If we take, go to land, natural condition, that means we are going to the Anand Shakti of the Lord. Jive Sarupe Krishna Nitras. That is our natural condition, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. And if we go to water, that is our unnatural condition. It means that we are trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, trying to lord it over material nature, and trying to be happy. That is natural condition, and it will lead to miseries of life. So we can understand it from another point of view, aspect. Krishna is the only Purush. And living entities are his prakriti, as we all know. And this material world is also his prakriti. So there are two prakritis. And both are meant for the enjoyment of the Lord. But what is happening, that this higher prakriti of the Lord, which is actually meant to satisfy the Lord, for the enjoyment of the Lord, is trying to enjoy the inferior energy of the Lord, which is actually meant to serve the Lord. So that is, this is our condition. That we are actually meant to, for the enjoyment of the Lord, to serve the Lord. But we are, instead of trying to enjoy the other energy of the Lord, which is also meant for the service of the Lord. So this is an absurd and unnatural condition. And therefore, nobody can be happy in this material world unless they use the resources of the material world in the service of the Lord. The purpose is to use the resources in the service of the Lord. Even this material body, it is material. But when it is used for the service of the Lord, this body itself becomes spiritual. Then it no longer. This is the Achinta Shakti of the Lord, that he can create the material energy into spiritual energy, and the spiritual energy into material energy. If you use things in the service of the Lord, that material energy becomes spiritual. And if we use things which are meant for the Lord for our own purpose, that spiritual energy becomes material energy. This is Achinta Shakti of the Lord. He can interchange the things. So, this is the position of Jivatma. So, therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, then another important part we will discuss afterwards that, is that distinguishes the Lord from living entity is that Lord is Ek Ras. Lord is called as Ek Ras, one mellow. The position, transcendental position of the Lord does not change in any situation. Whether he is Krishna himself, or whether he is Swayam in different avatars, but the potency does not change. In every avatar, Krishna has the same potency. Krishna is personally present in every avatar. So in whatever, just like Matsya avatar, Kulna avatar, there are so many avatars. So all those avatars have the same potency as Krishna himself. Krishna is personally present in them. So it does not change, his potency does not change with the shape, with the condition of everything. Just like Krishna is our heart as a super soul. He is Updrashta, Anumanta. He is the witness, he is the advisor. But it does not mean that his position has changed. He is the same Krishna. But living entity, on the other hand, is exhibits his power in proportion to the shape and constitution of the body. This is the difference. If I was a baby, I could not have shown the propensity when I was a grown-up man. This is, my position changes from time to time. My potency changes from time to time. Baby cannot have the same strength as a grown-up man. But Krishna in every form, when Krishna was a small child, he killed Putna. He killed Trinavarta. Saktasur, he was few days or few months old. When he was showing Yashoda Mai the Brahmand in his mouth remained small, just like a small boy, but he showed everything. When Yashoda wanted to tie him up, the belly did not increase. It remained the same. She was tying ropes and ropes and ropes, but still there was two fingers short. This is the ancestral Shakti of the Lord. His potency does not change, whatever shape and condition is. But we are limited. This is how we can differentiate Krishna and the living entity. So another aspect which we can see that we are controlled is that the living and entangled entity who is under the spell of Maya has no power to free himself or conquer the influence of Maya. We have no power. Devi hesha mai gunmai mam maya duratya mam evam pradantate mayam veti tarantite. This divine energy of mine, Krishna here writes divine energy of mine. While we say material energy is inferior energy, but whatever is connected to Krishna is divine. Therefore Krishna refers here material energy as divine energy of mine. It is difficult to overcome, but one who has surrendered to me can easily. It means that we cannot by our own endeavor come out of the clutches of Maya. Come out of the influence of Maya. It is only by the mercy of the Lord that we can come out of that, because He is the master of the energy. So, Vedas glorify Krishna, the Supreme Lord, again and again, is jai jai, jai jai kar kar rahe jai Bhagavan ki, Vedas, jai jai. And most important glory of the Lord, out of all the glories, is that He is mercy upon conditioned souls in redeeming them from the clutches of Maya. This is the most glorious part of the Lord, that He redeems the living entities from the clutches of Maya, who is surrendered to them. This is most glorious. Vedas say this is the most glorious aspect of the world. So we have tried to actually go through the shloka, and I think I have made the shloka clear. And the other thing which says in the end, that who can know Krishna and how can he be known? So Sri Krishna is adoksh, beyond our senses, transcendental, divine, cannot be actually understood by our senses, mind and thoughts. So those who are material say that I know him. As Veda say here, he is an imposter, pakhandi. Because nobody can know him. But how he can be known, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktiya mama vijananti, Yavan yash chashmi tattvate. Only by devotional service I can be known. So when one renders devotional service and reaches to the stage of perfection, then Krishna reveals himself. It is not that we can know to Krishna by our endeavor. Krishna, seeing our sincerity, seriousness of knowing him, approaching him, he himself reveals. Otherwise we cannot know him. And when he himself reveals him, then that undescribable, which cannot be described, becomes describable by the mercy of the Lord himself. Otherwise, he cannot be known and he cannot be described. So this is, we have to understand that anybody who says, I know Krishna, many people now claim, I am God, because he does not know, they do not know who is God. So they claim to be God. So, this is the position that we can know only the Lord by when he reveals himself. So in conclusion, it means that Krishna is an unlimited, eternal. Dhru, the word used in this shloka is Dhru, two times it is used. Which is permanent, eternal. And the living entity are limited eternals. They are also eternals, but they are limited. Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is the supreme controller, Irishwar Param Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha. And the living entities are eternally subordinate to him and controlled by him. This is the conclusion. Both the living entities, the word used is Nitya in Vedas. Both the living entities are Nitya. One is singular Nitya and other is plural Nitya. Singular Nitya is Krishna and plural Nityas are living entities. So, both are qualitative one, and yet singular Nitya, the Supreme Lord, is the controller, where the plural Nityas, the innumerable living entities, are controlled by the Supreme Lord. So this is the conclusion. So, few days back, I have a seva in Jagannath Mandir, Bhaktivedanta School. I go there every Thursday. So this is my realization, which I want to place before you. So I was giving class there, and in the course of class I was referring that Rishabhdev was actually teaching to his 100 sons, including Bharat. So after 10 minutes, there was a reference that there are three prominent Bharats in our scripture. One is Bharat, of younger brother of Ram. One is son of Dushyant and Shakuntala. And third is, but I could not remember, although I mentioned the name of Rishabh 10 minutes back, I could not remember at that time, I was blank, the third Bharat who was his father. And at the end of the lecture, I remembered that the name was Bharat. So I told them one shloka from Bhagavad Gita. I told them, sarvasaham hirde sannivishto matta smriti na jnanam apahamche. That I am sitting in everybody's heart, and from me, remembrance, forgetfulness, intelligence comes. So I told them that actually we have no capability to do anything. It is only by Krishna's potency, Krishna's will, Krishna's power we are actually to say anything. So this is my realization, that we should not be proud for anything. We should not take credit for anything. If Krishna wishes, he will allow us to do something. If Krishna does not wish, then we will be blank. Although 10 minutes back, I was knowing that name, and after that I also remembered, but at that particular time I could not remember. So, we should not be proud of anything. Therefore, we should always be taking blessings from Krishna, always taking blessings from the Vaishnavas, to actually empower to do something. Therefore, in the beginning, I need lot of blessings from all of you to say something worthwhile, which may be inspiring to you. So, thank you very much. So, any comments or any questions? If Krishna wishes, I may be able to. Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you for hearing patiently. I know that I am not I have very little knowledge of everything. So, Hope, may be possible that I may have committed many mistakes, but will forgive me, and But I have tried my best, and whatever Krishna gave me power, I have explained before you. So it is all Krishna's power, not mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you. Very, very.